And away we go.
There's the red button.
Hello, welcome to episode 4 of Funch. How can I stretch the metaphor this time? I was going to say the difficult fourth album, but I've said that the last two times, so I was thinking more of it like an EP.
You could do the Douglas Adams style and go the increasingly inaccurate trilogy. Is that a bit geeky?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, so...
You may be able to hear rain pattering above and phones ringing in the background. That's because this episode is coming to you from the Village Underground office.
Yeah, inside a tube train on the roof of a warehouse in East London. Very near the brothel, very near the
Mission.
Kitchen. Mission. Not very near the back garden of a flat in Forest Hill. But I think maybe the theme should be for all of these that we do, like, the venue's different, so we can't go back to the brothel. I thought we were going to do every single one then.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be funnier if we don't go there at all.
We could go back to the brothel because the brothel has significantly changed.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have all the foxes and the spunk everywhere.
No, the fox is in the gallery above now. In fact, we could go to the gallery next time.
Cool.
Let's go to the gallery and catch up with the Funch Fox, Mr. Bling.
Let's not talk about what we're doing now. Let's talk about what we're doing next time. Yeah. So. A little bit off the cuff this one. We haven't actually prepared anything to talk about.
Well, we had a load of extra material, didn't we?
We did.
At the end of the last podcast.
Oh yeah, we did. Oh yeah, maybe I'll talk about that.
So I take it we haven't got a schedule then. Shall we kick off with some music, or shall we, and we can sketch out some
People think that we've done no work for this one. Let's have some music and then we'll kick in the first bit, because I remembered what I was going to say last time.
Okay, so shall I go first? Because
yeah,
I've got the laptop open. This is my first track, it's my new track, and you'll recognise the vocal on this. This is the new track by Bobby Womack, and Please Forgive My Heart. Yeah.
I could try to say I'm sorry, but that won't be quite enough to let you know the pain that I feel, and it just won't let up. Falling and the clouds are closing in. Where did I lose control? Where did it all begin?
So that was Bobby Womack and The Bravest Man in the Universe from his new album. What did you think of that, John?
Well, a little bit different to Across 110th Street, but maybe Across 110th Street would have been improved with some kind of glitchy, dubstepy kind of backing.
Did it remind you of anyone? I can tell you about it. Did it remind you of anyone in particular? Any recent link-up albums?
No, it should do, the way you're looking at me.
Yeah, well, the thing that springs to mind for me is Gil Scott-Heron's album.
Jamie XX.
With the Jamie XX link-up.
Okay.
And that gives you that... Richard Russell from XL Recordings, who was involved with putting Gil Scott-Heron and Jamie XX, excuse the tweet deck, Jamie XX together for that album. I also, I think, was executive producer or some kind of producer for that album. He also put that together. And Damon Albarn, who also did work with Richard Russell on Africa Express, he also was on production duties and put some extra instrumentation over the top. So yeah, what do you think? Better or worse for the glitchy, dubstepy bits?
Well, this is really cynical, but now I know about the XL link, it seems like it's not... God, the rain, bloody hell. It's not like anyone else wouldn't do the same thing, but because I know that it's now something to do with XL, I think that basically they saw the success of the Gil Scott-Heron and Jamie XX thing and just went, ooh, what else can we do that's similar or identical to that?
Yeah.
Which is a bit cynical. I mean, musically it sounded, you know, amazing. It's still probably Womack's amazing voice.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, that's...
And
the
beauty of dubstep is it does give a lot of space to a vocal. So if you've got a strong vocal, you don't need to add that much to it. And I think... Okay, perhaps it probably might have been, it would be as strong an a cappella, but like too much, like, you know, if you're talking about Womack and Womack or something like that, too much overproduction can sometimes kill us off.
True. There's got to be a dubstep remix of Teardrops out there somewhere. Surely it's exactly the right tempo, but half the speed of normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's got to have done it. So yeah, good, nice. Shall I briefly talk about what I was going to talk about last time before we realised we were banging on for ages?
Yeah, do it.
Which is being a man whilst you're about to have a baby, rather than being the woman in the whole process. you basically don't know what's going on. You have no way of empathising. For some context, I'm going to have a small baby child in mid-June, so my girlfriend is 32 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And it's been quite easy. She hasn't had much morning sickness or anything, been quite lucky. It's not exactly very comfortable now, and it's probably going to get obviously more uncomfortable, culminating in something very uncomfortable. but ultimately, hopefully very nice. But in being a man, it's quite odd. Because you, like I said, you can't really feel anything that she's feeling, and you feel very lost. And I'm not trying to sort of deflect the whole experience onto me, because it is basically nothing to do with me, pretty much. But sometimes I'd like a little bit of recognition.
Yeah.
At Christmas time, I met up with one of my girlfriend's friend's parents in the pub, and it was the first time that they'd seen us since we announced we were having a baby. And the mum said, congratulations to my girlfriend, and then turned to me and said, well, I'm not saying congratulations to you because you didn't do anything. And I thought that was kind of...
You did something.
I did something, I did one thing. But it just... it didn't make me feel very good or special or really very integral to the process.
Yeah.
Which in many ways you're not.
Sperm donor.
Yeah, and that's about it.
But as a modern man, you want to be involved in the process. Whereas, you know, you could just, you know, disappear down the pub for a few days whilst the wife had a baby, and then, you know, she'd come home with the baby and you'd still be pissed. You now have to be involved in the process in some way.
And I want to be. I mean, and
yeah, of course.
And that, you know, that's the way it should be. And I can't believe it used to be a different way, you know, a few years ago. But it's just kind of odd. Another example is when we went for a 12-week scan, or when we went to see the midwife in our local health clinic, and I didn't even get one single bit of eye contact. And look, I'm at pains to say that it's obviously, you know, 99% about the woman in this whole sorry affair. No, in this whole process, but I'd like the midwife to have looked at me once and acknowledged that I was there. You know, it's a bit weird. It's a very
John. You often go. You use movies as reference points for life changing events.
Yeah.
Do you feel that movies didn't prepare you in this situation?
Yeah, movies. No movies I've watched have prepared me for this. It's shocking. I thought, you know, 9 months or even junior. The great Arnold Schwarzenegger could have prepared me in some way, but it just couldn't, and I blame the movies.
Because it's quite simple. You go from I'm pregnant to having the baby. There's very few that are about, especially from a male perspective, about the pregnancy process.
True. And in terms of expectation, I was, when we found out, I wasn't ready at all, and I wasn't for ages after that. I wasn't ready, and now I am, which is great. And it's odd that you can articulate what's going to happen, but at the time it's very difficult to appreciate that it is going to happen.
Yeah,
very difficult.
So what do you want out of this?
It's not like getting a dog for Christmas.
What's the ideal solution for any midwives and
midwives, just to say hello,
and wives' friends or fiance's friends in this situation.
So congratulations.
Yeah,
that's all I want.
Yeah,
you know.
I think it's because you have actually put a big emotional investment into it. Actually, that you don't, that you're not being credited with that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Should I have some more music?
Yeah.
This is an EP.
I've got absolutely nothing to add to this conversation because I'm childless. Right, what's the tune, John?
Okay, this is Odyssey, Use It Up and Wear It Out, the Pete Jordan Speed Garage remix.
Is it on YouTube? We'll be right back.
So that was Pete Jordan's Speed Garage Rinse Out, to give it its proper title of Odyssey, Use It Up and Wear It Out.
Great. Banging.
Yeah. So I can't remember why I follow Pete Jordan. I can't remember who he is. But I got him linked on Twitter through someone, and I followed him. He says something funny, or he posts up a good tune on YouTube. And then he posted this free remix, and I heard it and I thought, that's brilliant. And I was playing a garage set of Big Chill or something, so feeling quite nicely. But what I really like about it, or what I think is quite funny about it, is that it bears no resemblance whatsoever to Use It Up and Wear It Out by Odyssey. And it's just another kind of sort of, well, very good example of being able to link a remix to an original by the most spurious of tiny little elements. And there are millions and millions of examples of this, where the remix is amazing in its own right, but has absolutely nothing to do with the original at all.
Yeah.
And it strikes me as quite odd that the model that record companies and artists use has probably changed a great deal since, I don't know, in the last 5-10 years. But you get paid a flat fee for using the parts of a dance music track that was split into its constituent parts, and you could use as much or as little as you wanted of it, and you still get paid the same. And this guy's basically created an entire track all by himself. If he'd done it officially, and Odyssey had phoned him up from the 70s and you know, on their wearing their flares, and said, we want you to do us a Speed Garage mix, whatever that sounds like, because we don't know.
It's a kind of cosmic telephone.
Yeah, it barely bears any resemblance at all to Use It Up and Wear It Out.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it's just one of these things that people can interpret.
There's a difference. I think sometimes there's a difference, though, that between certain artists remix things in their style, and that's what the record company wants. So they say, you know, this guy, Jamie XX, for example. You know, he's really edgy and cool, and we really want that minimalist kind of dubstepy kind of sound to our music, so we'll ask him to do one. But the best artists, in my opinion, are always artists that sort of that do that and then completely just tear it up and just make something completely different. My favourite remix like that was a song called Fear Satan by Mogwai. Do you know it?
No.
Absolutely brilliant. In fact, I might even play it on the show. I haven't got it on the hard drive, but we'll seek it out in the second part of this podcast. But basically, Fear Satan is a brilliant sort of guitar post-rocky kind of track that really builds amazingly. It's really beautiful. And they got the techno DJ Surgeon to do a remix. And you might expect Surgeon, the techno DJ, to do a techno remix of it, but he didn't. He just took a really sort of filtered, electronically filtered sort of version of the song, and it just turned from a sort of bubbling simmer to a sort of bubbling mass of electronic mess. And it's just one of my favorite remixes like that. It's just basically given artistic freedom versus put your brand on this, you know. Which it feels, do you think, is that Pete Jordan's sound?
It's a little bit of a diversion, but it's mostly kind of dance related. A lot of it, quite a lot of his stuff's a bit slower than that, but yeah, good fun. This is to be continued, I think.
Yeah.